we've started and there's crying in the background, which is going to be amazing.
Yes.
There is crying in the background,
you
know who it is.
This morning was very cute when you answered the phone. I called you. You answered the phone. You just put her crying voice in the phone.
No, I didn't. It was, I picked up the phone from my headphones on my computer. Oh. So it picked up the sound from the computer, but it was her like fussing on and she was sitting on me. So yeah.
Got it. There but she anyway, is making herself known.
Yeah, she'll be on to talk when she can. But for now, it's just crying. Yeah. It's a little crying and fussing in the back.
Her way of communicating.
It's the best way to communicate.
Yes.
But anyway, welcome to the Perimenopause Podcast. I'm Perry.
And I'm Lisa.
It's been a long day.
Yes.
I feel tired.
It's funny because one of the things, well, let's talk about insomnia.
I don't have that. I go to sleep like a rock.
I have been falling asleep, been very tired, but now I've progressed from 3:18 to like 5:30, which is bad.
That's good.
It's not that good because I don't go to sleep until like 12:30.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if anybody else has this because I guess technically insomnia is what keeps you up. I don't get kept up because I'm so tired from not sleeping that I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
But at 5:30, I'm like, it's like a floodgate. It opens up.
Really?
It's terrible. Like, I'm like, oh, my brain is awake. Oh, no. What is this? It's feeling like it's dark outside. I don't want to open my eyes. I literally won't open my eyes. I literally say to myself, stop thinking.
The sun is kind of up at 5:30.
I know. This morning it was. But the thing is, the minute I say to myself, don't start thinking.
Is when you think. Yeah, of course.
It's like 1,000 thoughts come through. Then I'm like, I have to pee. Because ugh. I woke up and now I have to pee. Once that's I go terrible. Pee, I'll get back in the bed. Listen, this morning I did fall back asleep, but it's just a terrible.
Lucky you.
It's just a terrible thing. Like, what happened to my life where I used to be able to sleep for 9 hours?
I can sleep for 9 hours.
I can't. I would be. I want to and I need to sleep for 8 hours. I'm happy when I get 7.
You know that they say women are supposed to have 8 hours and men are supposed to have 7 hours.
I know. It's just crazy.
I don't know how they figured that out. But
oh, I know. On the subject of this, since okay. you don't have, and my insomnia is not really insomnia. It's wake me up before you go.
Yeah.
But, and there goes my thought.
Oh no.
Here we go.
Jesus.
This is what I wanted to talk about with insomnia. I read an article and I read it to Andrew the other day. I think it was in AARP. Yes.
Oh, yikes.
Yes.
Okay. There's the menopause.
About sleep divorce.
So this
is an interesting topic.
Sure.
Because, so Andrew snores. When we first got together, he really didn't snore that bad. It's gotten really bad over 15 years.
He should get checked.
But he's been checked. It's sleep apnea and he doesn't care.
Oh, that's sad.
So here's the thing. I have yet to have a partner who doesn't snore. And I always thought...
Like ever in your life?
I thought like... It's just me. I'm so sensitive. I can't sleep. I hear every noise. It's crazy because during the day, like if you talk to me from 3 feet away, I'm like, what are you saying? But when I'm sleeping, I could literally hear you in your apartment.
I know.
It's a crazy thing.
You can hear a pin drop.
So for years and years and years, I thought it was just me. I thought I'm super sensitive and he's leaving the bed in the middle of the night or mm-hmm. one or two nights, we actually don't even sleep together because he's like, I gotta sleep. You're poking me all night. And I'm like, good, go. Because I would like to sleep without having to poke you all night.
I agree. So, I watch, when you watch Maisel and they sleep in separate beds, yeah. I think people should go back to that.
Wait, no. That's bad because once or twice by accident, it's happened in a hotel where like, whatever, some problem and we ended up in a room with two beds and then I can't push him. So he's too far. He's in another bed.
Oh, it's bad for partners that do snore. Good for partners that don't snore, but just want separate beds. That's a great idea.
So anyway,
I thought like a soundproof.
There's a whole bunch of new things we're going to have to look into. But anyway, I thought it was only me. Mm. I brought this subject up one time many years ago at Mahjong and everybody looked at me and they're like, what are you talking about? My husband sleeps in a different room. My husband sleeps in a different bed.
No.
My husband gets up all night. Someone's husband who's a very, not, he's just a bigger man.
Yeah.
sleeping in like their children's twin bed because the snoring. So like I felt a lot better and much more empowered when I heard that I wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be a thing. So now sleep divorce might be the way of the future.
Oh, you mean sleep divorce meaning you sleep separately?
Correct.
Okay. I just didn't know what that concept
because
meant.
I hate to say this, and I know eventually Andrew's going to hear this, but like it's just lovely to be in a king bed alone.
I hear you.
I do like to fall asleep with him there, but like I got to tell you, sometimes he can't take it because I'm pushing him so much because he's snoring. He'll get up at 2:30 in the morning and just go in the other bedroom. Yeah. And when I feel that he's not there, I'm like spread.
Yeah.
I'm like arms and legs out. I'm like, this is the best.
There's something nice about it. Just getting like,
I got to tell you, a king bed is not even big enough for me alone.
Like, well, I sleep in a king bed. Me, Graham, and Taz all sleep in a king bed. That thing feels like a twin.
It's
literally so horrible.
I don't understand. A king bed is really actually just two twin beds together. Why isn't it like two full beds together? You should have more room.
Isn't that a California king? Is two full beds together?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's what I thought.
I'm going to have to look into that. Although I don't have bedrooms big enough barely for the king size beds. It's crazy.
I know. That's horrible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I actually wanted to know if you pay attention at all to the Met Gala?
Oh, it's so funny. I forgot. I do know it's the first Monday of May, and I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. So we were watching the news last night, and they were showing it live. I was curious how it went down this year. Did a lot of people show? Because so, people were starting to like boycott the concept of it.
Kind of, but also, so this year, you know what the subject of the Met Gala was? Karl Lagerfeld.
Yeah, I heard.
So he's a
boring.
And also a little controversial.
What?
He's a kind of a controversial person to have the Met Gala in his honor because he famously thought that fashion doesn't belong in museums. Like mm-hmm. he actually said that quote and okay. they actually like put the quote in irony, like in the Met. And there was
Karl Lagerfeld is looking down. Did it rain last night?
So there was a big article about like what he would have thought of the people paying homage to him last mm-hmm. night. I mean, I was texting with Isabel. I love the Met Gala. I've always loved it. And I think it's really
could you watch it live? Like
you can watch it. You can't watch it live.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What exactly is it? It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and
they
Anna
have,
Wintour like picks, handpicks every person. Yeah. They have performances.
Oh. Okay.
People usually perform.
People walking up
and
those stairs.
It's a whole like retrospective that they walk through. Like the exhibition, like in his honor, the costumes, the designs, everything is on display. Me and Isabel usually go mm-hmm. after. You know, this week is like hectic and everyone wants to get in to see it, but usually like a couple weeks later, they still have it for like a couple months in mm-hmm. the summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and you
that.
Can like go look at it. Like mm-hmm. when they did Heavenly Bodies, it was like all about like Catholicism and Christianity and like the sanctity of fashion and how religion and fashion have molded and whatever. And I remember me and Isabel going, it was like one of the first times she was in the city in the summer, like she had like an internship or something and we went to see it. But I think it's a really interesting topic, first of all, because he doesn't believe in fashion being in museums and he like famously like didn't attend the Met Gala.
Okay.
And
really? He never went to the Met Gala?
But he famously like didn't like the concept.
He just dissed it. Yeah.
And also he's very close with Anna Wintour, who this is like
her whole thing.
Like yeah. this is her night where she handpicks everybody and handpicks the tables and handpicks every single aspect of the night, which I find very interesting. And I was watching it last night and then I was reading this article this week because they were having a lot of stuff about it. I don't know if you know this. Also famously, Karl Lagerfeld said, you know, he doesn't have any family. He doesn't have anybody. He has no attachments. He left all his money to his cat.
What?
I don't know if you know this.
No. Oh,
he has like
my
a super
God.
Famous
what
cat.
Is wrong with these
and
people?
He like left all the money to the cat, like his entire business and inheritance.
I would like to know how that works.
I don't
what
know.
Is your cat doing?
No, nothing. The government seizes it. So technically, yeah.
Well, you know, honestly, that's disgusting.
I know.
Because
that's what I said.
Millions
Wait,
of dollars
so
did this man have that he could have given to cancer research?
Right. So He's German and nasty.
Disgusting.
So, sorry to the German fans. But I'm also German, so I can say that.
He was nasty.
Nasty. And then I read that that's a lie. And he has a sister who lives in Connecticut. And she's married to a regular Joe. Mm-hmm. And they have children.
And he didn't leave them anything.
He left them nothing. But he famously made and sent her a custom Chanel wedding dress when she got married.
Great. I'm sure she really cares about that.
No, she
would sell it.
So I think the New York Times like dug all this up and they like found her. And they were like,
after he died, they dug this up?
They dug up the story like last week. Oh, and they were like, oh my God, like he had this sister and she has a family. And like, what was their relationship like? And they interviewed her and she was like, we had a nice relationship.
And he left her nothing.
Yeah. She was like, he was incredibly private. Our relationship was incredibly private. He didn't want anybody to know about us. We didn't really care. He made me a custom wedding dress. I remember it showing up the day before my wedding and it had my perfect measurements. And she was like, I cherish it. There was like pictures of it in the article. And I just thought it was that's so weird.
Yeah.
That's such a weird way
to
behave.
How do you get your wedding dress the day before your wedding?
No, I know. First of all, I thought that was psycho.
Yeah. Also, she probably spent a couple $1,000s on a wedding dress, and then all of a sudden, $100,000.
He was like, and she knew about
it. Stressful. Can you get it a week before?
Isn't it crazy though? He was such a weird dude.
Yeah,
and
he
had
a very weird
this
dude.
Perfectly normal sister who moved to America and married an American guy, mm-hmm. and like they lived this totally normal life. Nobody would even know.
That's crazy. But kind of
upsetting. And they were like, are you going to the Met Gala? And she was like, I wasn't invited.
Oh, God. Because nobody knew she existed. She could have worn her wedding gown.
That's what I said. I said she could have worn the wedding dress. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, no, but she must be an old lady now.
Kind of. She's like 70 years old. Yeah. But she's like, that's the most authentic, like
I just realized what I want to talk about. Okay, finish up.
No, so that's it. So I just.
Before I forget.
Basically, I love the Met Gala. It was so funny last night because I'm texting with Isabel and there's been so many amazing themes of the Met Gala, like the recent themes. And like every year there's a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. So just quickly go over before I lose the thought of what I want to talk about. Who did what? Who was good?
Basically there was a lot of good. And it's funny because
Doja Cat was the best.
She looked amazing. She basically dressed as his cat, which was hysterical.
I have to see pictures.
And I'll look at the pictures and we'll re-review it next week or whatever. But what was really cool was Serena Williams is pregnant again. And she made an appearance at the Met Gala last night and she's pregnant. It was her announcement.
Nice.
And Karlie Kloss is also pregnant. Did two pregnancy announcements and Rihanna's pregnant, but she just showed up at the Met Gala looking pregnant and being pregnant and everyone knows and it's fine. It just like was really beautiful.
Yeah.
She looked amazing. She was in this like huge Valentino, like amazing flower thing.
Oh, I'm going to have to look it up.
So beautiful. However, the last couple Met Gala themes have been like incredible themes. Mm-hmm. This theme, I think, fine. You want to pay homage to him because he died during.
Who had the best honor of like who had the best thing that honored him? Did anybody get like really Chanel-y?
Yeah, people did. And they wore like old vintage Chanel and old vintage Fendi from when he worked at Fendi and whatever. It was really great. But the thing is about him is like he wore that classic black and white with like pearls. Mm-hmm. That was like his whole thing. Mm-hmm. And like literally everybody was doing it. Mm-hmm. Like everybody was in black and white. There was like hardly anybody in color.
Really?
Anybody. It was like super homage to him. Everyone was wearing black and white, whatever. And Isabel texted me and she was like, just leave it to Hollywood to be so boring that everybody only follows the theme when the theme is wear black and white.
Yeah, that is pretty boring.
You know, it's like you could totally be on theme, but you have to be wearing black and white
to
get it.
So was Harry Styles there?
No.
So that means he wasn't invited?
He was not invited.
So doesn't that feel bad? Like last year, hot, you're invited, you're wearing your dress, and then
yeah,
this year
I don't know
invited.
Because I don't know what that's like. It's like hundreds of thousands of, I think it's $300,000 to have a seat, pay for a seat, and you pay for it as like a donation, mm-hmm. and then you don't even know if you're getting picked. Like you don't necessarily even get it.
You make the donation
and
then
you hope
to
get invited.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
That's
a lot. But listen, she gets her crowds every year. They do.
She should retire.
Yeah, she's got
Vogue needs like a facelift.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, all of those magazines are kind of, you know, I don't know. I pick them up.
Is it a dying business?
Probably. I mean, when I look through the magazines, I feel very out of touch with it. I mean, listen, I'm a 56-year-old woman. It's not
you're not out about of touch. Me,
but even when I look through
but
it, I'm like,
who's reading that?
This is art. It's not real. Like, I used to look to the magazines like, what cool boots, what cool pocketbook. Now everything is so highfalutin. It's not realistic.
I feel like I used to like flip to the back to where the like photography was and like the spreads of like all of the.
Yeah, the outfits. Yeah. And yeah, there was always a crazy section with the really couture stuff. But then there was always stuff like,
that worked.
You know, this year's this kind of cut or yeah. florals or yeah. whatever it is. And you just want to imagine an idea and then, you know, see how they
you go to Bloomingdale's and you try.
Right, right. So, you know, I feel like the magazines have gotten so far away from that. And not only that, but the way they cover everything, I guess I've gotten a lot more media savvy from you guys. So, like, when I read these articles, and it makes me feel, like, bad because they're showing these people that are accomplishing God knows what. Mm. And then I read the article and I'm like, this is really a bunch of PR bullshit.
Yes.
I'm like...
Always.
It's so see-through now.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, this person's trying to get money.
They're promoting their movie.
Promote their stuff.
Yeah, of course.
This accomplishment is really based on things that aren't, you know, connections that they had or,
yeah.
you know, whatever. And it's like somewhere in the background, somebody's uncle or husband.
You just feel like it's not authentic
whatever.
Anymore.
I really do.
Okay.
I really do. So it's hard to really...
Want to buy
it's
them.
It's pretty. Magazine. It's pretty. I pick them up sometimes to look at them. And
I like Architectural Digest. We have a stack of them over there.
Oh, yeah. That's real art.
It's fun yeah. to look at that.
Absolutely.
But go ahead. What did you okay, want to talk about? Sorry, so that's my little thing yeah. I wanted to talk about.
This is like totally related to what I wanted to talk about because it kept popping in and out of my head because this is what happens, I guess, at my age. I think I should be a little
things
bit older.
Come and go.
But it's happening. Yeah, so Andrew's 60th birthday is coming up, and I don't know who I was talking to, but for some reason got into the subject, and this is a hard one and not, like, such a happy one, but, like, 60, not him in particular, but when you think about it.
It's nothing.
It's, yeah, but to think that you only have 20 or 25 years left.
You don't have that.
I know, but for a moment when you're turning this age.
Do you feel like that?
I do think about it sometimes. Like, I forgot who somebody said something to me and they were like, yeah, when you have a great grandchild. And I'm like, well, guess what? If Vienna is your age when she has a baby, I'm going to be 88 years old. I don't know
probably be okay.
how likely it is that I will be here at 88.
And I think it's probably pretty likely. You understand how much things have changed in the fields in the last 20 years.
I understand, but I still look, listen, I look at what my father is going through.
Yeah,
and
but
that's I mean,
unusual.
The pendulum swings both ways. There are some people, listen, I play pickleball with men in their late 80s and early 90s, but there are many people like Papa.
Sure.
And
when you destroy yourself for 40 years.
And there are many people that aren't here at 83.
Sure.
And it's just a little unnerving because 56 took a really short time. Like 56 years just went by so quickly. Mm. So to only think that you have 20 or 30 left, I hate to say it that way.
It's so morbid.
It's like so scary. It's so scary. Like, but on the other end, when we were talking in the car earlier today, like at 56, like, not that I feel like a kid. I mean, definitely physical things are different, but
yeah, physical things are different for me, and I'm only 32.
Young. I feel very young. I feel very attuned to the world, busy with everything that's going on, you know, lots of energy, living my life, doing a lot of things.
Look, you're doing a podcast.
Right. But when I was your age, maybe a little bit younger, when I thought of somebody being 60, I was like, that's an old person.
Right.
Like, and they were
old. But if you went back now and you showed your 30-year-old self what you were doing now, I think you'd be like, whoa.
I don't know. I think at the time when I was 30, I was like, wow, 30 is much younger. Because I got news for you. I was thinking back. I used to have this teacher. I'm sure he's alive because Rabbi Leibowitz.
Yikes.
He was... When I was in elementary school, like bar mitzvah age, 12, 13 years old, like we thought he was old.
He was like 35.
He was like 32, right? So he was like 20 years older than me. So, you know, he's probably still alive.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that was so old.
That's really sad.
And I did for a while, like, my friend's parents were in their 40s. Like, I always had a very young mother. Mm. So my friend's parents seemed so old.
Yeah.
When they were 40.
Yeah. It's horrible.
But also, like, we dressed so poorly, and it wasn't like, you know, it was just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And like, now there's no difference between how you dress and how I dress and no. how Sydney dresses.
Literally.
And it's such an interesting turnaround, but I will say it does just make me feel a little uncomfortable that I've already had 56 years and it went fast.
It's hard. How do I make this not sad and scary? It's so crazy. It's this, all this stuff just comes back to that. You have to watch that stupid show with Chris Hemsworth. You have to.
Which one is
Limitless.
It?
They do Limitless. A whole episode. This is going to sound so bad, but I feel like it helped.
Spill
him.
It. Spill it.
So the last episode of the show is him confronting like what it will be like for him to be an old man. So they literally stage this entire, basically like an old age home, and they stage it and they put him in prosthetics to make him old and his beautiful wife old.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they simulate for like a week him being an old man. They give him like things so that he like can't see, he can't hear, he's like physically like things are way harder, and every day he's like confronted by the fact that like this will eventually be the way that things are for him. It'll be really difficult, way more difficult than it is for him now at 40, and he's like a perfectly normal person. And then at the end, it's really horrible and scary, but they like simulate basically like what it would be like for him to have an emergency situation where he passes away.
Okay.
And then it's him like literally lying in a coffin.
Ew.
Confronting like the feelings of like what it would feel like.
But he won't feel that when he's in the coffin.
Of course. But it's okay. Like confronting the feeling of death,
well,
you know, and like being old, so, and like all of those things. And he, it's like, it was really like, it was hard to watch.
Watching that. Well, so last week on 911, if anybody watches 911,
besides you,
started out with a funeral, right? They're giving a funeral. There's some lady's funeral. Some people are talking about this woman or whatever. And then, I don't know, the ceiling collapses or something and there's an emergency situation.
That's horrible.
And 911 shows up and the guys are like, you know, whose funeral was it? And they're like, oh no, it was this lady. She's in the back of the room. It was her funeral. It's not really her funeral. She was sick with whatever and she's going to die. But why wouldn't she be able to hear what everybody had to say about her? Because when your funeral comes, you're already dead. You can't hear all the nice things everybody have to say. So there's this service that gathers
like
up your family.
Pre-funeral?
They know she's alive. They know she's not dead yet.
No.
But she's somewhere in the building listening to what everybody has to say so that she knows what feelings people have for her, and it helps her confront
the fact that it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't know. Like, that's horrible.
I don't know about that. And also, if they know that you're not dead, they're probably
making shit up.
Right. Or maybe they thought she was dead. I can't remember. It must be that they thought she was dead.
Oh my God. Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, remember on Better Things? That was like the greatest episode ever.
That is insanity.
What?
I cannot imagine a world
where you get to hear your funeral?
No. Yeah. I'm good.
It's not meant to be.
I don't think you're supposed to
hear. But that was a very funny episode where she made her family do her funeral.
I don't like that concept.
Okay.
At all. And I don't like this concept either. I don't know what it is. I don't think you... It's not that I don't think you should think about that.
You shouldn't think about it.
But
I don't think there's any part of your day or your life that you should be thinking about what happens to you or what will happen after you die.
And then it's like every couple months you'll get like one of those articles where it's like some dude like who was dying, like saw himself from above and then like came back to life. And now he knows like. And I'm like, why am I reading this?
I need to do math really, really well.
That's horrible.
Well, so what about last night on Succession when they... said they're making this community that's going to have like the most upscale, like
Living Plus.
Right. And it will be able to have all the new developments in life extending treatment.
I think that will eventually happen.
I think it will too. I got to tell you, it sounds pretty good. Like living in these communities and these places.
That I know already
it
exists.
To, right. But this had like medical
of
component.
Course, of course.
For elongating your
longevity.
Years.
Yeah, totally. I think that will
I think
exist.
It will. It probably does. I mean, they couldn't have got the concept for that television show from nowhere. It's
yeah.
like somebody is forming that, creating it.
I feel like there is going to be like a ton of weird medical stuff that happens and like you're going to be living in like, we're all going to be living in like simulations.
Well, I mean, two things. First of all, like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I remember hearing if you could live another 50 years, you're going to live another 50 years after that.
Right. I read that article.
All of us well over 100 years old.
Which like,
yeah, I guess if your mind is okay, if your body is okay, it's not easy being old.
I don't know that
really
it will
not.
Feel the same.
It's not easy on you. It's not easy on your family. It's I don't know if we're doing the right thing with this.
I don't
like,
know.
Maybe there's a natural time to expire because you can't take it anymore.
Or maybe we'll just end up taking our consciousness out of our bodies and then putting them into younger bodies.
Or like those holograms. Yeah. Like, what do you feel about that?
I don't
this
know.
This is going very morbid. I don't know. Maybe change the subject.
I don't know. It's very weird to think about.
Yeah, it is. Like, would you be happy?
Well, you started this, so
I know,
let's be honest.
I know, because it was on my
Listen,
mind.
Listen, it's okay.
I mean, would you be happy if you could have a hologram of somebody that you lost to see?
Well, this is like a whole...
And they can put like a chip so
Did you
it
watch
have
this Black Mirror episode?
What?
So there's a whole Black Mirror episode on this.
No, I never watched Black Mirror because you made me scared of it and I don't want to have bad dreams.
Okay.
Bad enough I have it's bad enough I have insomnia.
There's literally
or waking insomnia.
There's an entire episode on this where basically this woman was married to this guy. He got in an accident. He died. Mm-hmm. They basically used every phone call he ever made and every text message he ever sent and his social media to basically recreate him as who he was based in with AI. So like that stuff exists now. Someone
yes,
could talk
does.
To you
yes,
like
does.
That person mm-hmm. and his voice and everything. And they basically put it into a fake robotic version of him. Like they made him into a robot. Mm-hmm. They put the AI of him into him mm-hmm. and then made him and sent him to his house.
Would that make you feel comforted?
So I'll tell you how the episode ends. She kills the robot.
Oh, I thought the robot killed her.
No, she kills the robot because she's so upset that it's not who he is.
Right. I
because
mean,
you
I
find like
can
the
you
little
get comfort in that.
Well,
that
they, the that's is, what the whole thing was it's trying to give you peace and comfort to like
that the person is still with you.
Right. But they're not.
Right. But they are in some
are
ways.
They?
Physically,
would
no,
you feel comforted
but
by that?
Spiritually, yes. What is the difference between that and feeling that God is with you?
No, I have to be honest. If someone made a clone of you with like the way you talked and texted and like your social media, and then they like mailed it to us after.
Like what if you had a little me sitting in the corner that you could turn on for like
an hour? It
would
always remind me of how you're dead. And now I'm sitting here with a robot version of you.
Okay.
That's not right.
It's not right. I'm
like,
going to say it's not right, but
are the memories you make with them and that thing can't make memories with you.
Right.
So like there's no point in your physicality being here.
Well, I guess I think it's the opposite. Like you don't physically have the person, but you have some aura of them. You have some piece of them.
Would you find comfort in that?
I might. It might make me feel
you're
better to hear
you're
your
sick.
Voice. Like to hear your voice or to talk with you. Could you communicate back with me?
Yes. So he
I mean,
communicated.
I would, here's the thing. I might be comforted and very afraid at the same time. Mm. It might be a little too creepy for
me. Well, that's basically what ended up happening is she got so like weirded out by the fact that it was like sort of.
And then it could
it
turn.
Was sort of like, no, but it was sort of like glitching into like she was realizing that this wasn't comforting anymore.
Yeah.
And then she like basically had to send it away and then it was upset and it. She killed it basically, but she didn't kill it. She just like turned it off basically and left it upstairs.
It's hard to know if it's, you know, I think it's just part of human nature and cycle of life to lose people, go through the grieving.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess it's not good when it's happening, but
I think
it's life has to progress.
In the grand scheme of things, it's healthier to allow people in and out.
Yeah.
like a wave.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the AI stuff is getting, we talked about it. Listen, it's getting really scary. And it's, Andrew told me that there were robots that had conversations with each other that were not prompted by human beings.
Yes.
That's psycho.
Wait, I was reading an article. The guy who basically was the father of AI, he literally said in an article recently that he regrets his life's work and he's scared of what's going to happen.
I heard that. That's so terrible.
It's so scary.
It is deeply scary.
So scary.
Yeah, it really
is. Imagine if you picked up the phone and you heard my voice, but it wasn't from my number. Yeah, and it was telling you something.
You're freaking me out. I'm going to have bad dreams tonight.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. This stuff already happens.
Yeah. I think it's very scary that they can communicate with each other on a level that we don't understand.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I mean, what's our only option? Like, unplug them, pull the battery out?
At this point.
But if we do, right, what if they get smart enough to know how to make themselves work without batteries?
No, I don't think that's how I don't think the batteries are the problem. I think it's like, what happens when they act like they're turned off and they're not?
Oh, God, this is terrible.
It's I Am Legend. It's like I Am Legend.
So scary, really scary. Crazy. Anyway. All right. I'm not sure we want to go up on this note, especially because I'm going to be on hiatus for a couple of weeks. Let's talk about something a little bit more cheerful. Like, what are we looking forward to?
Oh, my God.
We have
Mother's Day, Andrew's birthday. Alex and Amir are coming. Everyone's going to be home. There's so many
celebrations.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah,
the baby naming.
Big week coming up.
We got a lot of stuff to be happy about.
Yeah, it's going to be a jam-packed week.
I'm excited.
And everybody's here together.
And you love a jam-packed week.
I do love my schedule to be jam-packed. And I do love when everybody is here together for a few days.
I know. I'm really excited. It's like everyone's going to be here and then Glenn's going to be here. And I literally haven't seen.
Oh, it's really fun. I'm so excited
that Alex
and
Glenn are going to be here from California. I'm really looking forward to the two of them coming home. Why do they even live out there?
That is the question.
Stop living out there. California is going to float away into the ocean.
AI is taking over California first. So come home.
Come home.
I agree.
It's stupid. California is not just stupid. It's just stupid. You guys are stupid. Just come home. There's no need for you to be out there. We know it's great. But also, we didn't even have winter here. The weather was totally fine.
I agree.
Or just go to Florida like everybody else. Yes. Although I get it with DeSantis.
Mm-mm. Yeah. That's a lot of people's vision.
That's why I'm not moving to Florida.
Well, if enough people
can't say the same for you.
I'm only a temp.
That's true.
I'm only a temp.
That's true. Your taxes are done.
My taxes and my voting are here.
That's good.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have a very big, exciting week coming up. Yeah. And then after that, I have a trip of a lifetime.
I know, you have a super amazing trip.
So we'll have a substitute for me, and then we'll maybe skip a week. And then when I get back, I will fully
have so much stuff to talk about.
My trip.
You better learn how to say some things in Japanese.
Well, that's what I have the iPhone for.
No, but I mean, you should come back with some phrases. You know,
we'll do my best.
Konnichiwa.
Is that actual? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to say konnichiwa to somebody.
No, but they say. Actually, I'm going to give you some advice that I heard from somebody who does this kind of stuff and travels for a living. Mm-hmm. They always say it is better to try and to fail than to not try to speak at all.
Really?
They would always more appreciate, and especially in those kinds of countries, they will always appreciate you trying way more than they'll appreciate if you don't try.
Oh, I got to do better when I go to Mexico because I never try.
Oh my God.
I'm always no.
I love being in Mexico. I'm excellent. I'll pick this right back up.
I know. It's you're when I'm in Israel.
It was so fun when I was in Spain. And it's so funny because I was trying to get into Italian when I was knowing we were going to Spain and Italy. When I went to Spain, I picked it up in a second. I was I remember everything about Spanish. This
you were
is so
very
easy.
Good at Spanish.
And basically all we did was eat and walk around and eat and drink. So I those are the things I know the best. but when we got to Italy, I totally got my things confused because Italian's just slightly off from Spanish, but it's just enough that the words don't make any sense.
Okay.
And it was super hard, but make sure you just try.
I will.
People will appreciate it.
I will.
And I know if you're one of our Japanese, if you're in Japan and you're a fan, she's coming. So
I'm on my
way.
I'm
sure you would appreciate her speaking Japanese too.
I will give it a try. Konnichiwa.
There we go. I'm going to look up what konnichiwa means.
Let me know.
But anyway.
All right. I'm ready for a good deep breath.
Me too.
I hope I sleep tonight.
Oh, me too.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Catch you at the end of the month.
All right.
Love you.
Love you.